appreciate everyone joining us this morning for this crop report conference call. We've got planting intentions and quarterly stocks of grain, so a lot of information. I'm Rita Maloney from MGX. I'll moderate the call for you today. Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions, he is our providing the commentary for us today. We appreciate Brian taking time out of his schedule, very busy schedule, to give us the commentary. Once commentary is complete, members of the media will have time to ask a question and a follow-up question. Again, I would like to remind everyone to please mute your phone so there's no disruptions during Brian's commentary. With that, we'll turn it over to Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. Brian, thank you again, and good morning.
Yes, good morning, Rita, and thank you for having me on, and thanks, everybody, for listening this morning. I will give you a number where I can be reached if you do have questions later on. I can be reached directly at 605-660-1155 if you do have questions later today or sometime next week about this report or about anything else. And our website address is MidwestMarketSolutions.com. Now, we look at this report, and I'm going to give you some fun facts here to start off with. Going into the report, the March intentions for corn, planting intentions, has come in less than the average trade guess in six out of the last 8 years. And now we're going to make it six out of nine because we did come in above the average trade guess in corn plantings, while the final for corn plantings has come in above the March intentions five out of the last 8 years. So, kind of the odds here are that our corn acreage is going to get a little bit larger from now through the final. Same thing in the soybean, exact same numbers. Final numbers have exceeded the March intentions five out of the last 8 years in soybean acreage. But we had a trend where we also came in above the average trade guess, five out of 8 years. This year we did not. We came in a little bit below, so five out of 9 years now that we exceeded the trade guess in the March planting intentions report. We look at this report, and, at first glance, we're very close in the average trade guess in corn, soybeans, and wheat. In fact, we exceeded the planting intentions in corn and spring wheat. Overall, wheat acres are more than what the trade guessed, and that should be bearish on its own. But if you look at the quarterly stocks, that's the key number this morning. Corn stocks came in at 6.52 billion bushels. That is down from the average trade guess, which was 6.69. And it all is also below last year's number of 7.694. So it gives us a real good indication here that ethanol usage and feed usage has been better than what the trade has been expecting and has factored in. And when we have better usage for those two components particularly, those are very hard to change the trend very quickly. They do not react to prices as quickly as what a livestock or what an export consumer would react to. So when we have good ethanol usage and we have good feed demand, we're going to continue to use those categories. The trade belief is, with this drawdown of quarterly stocks and having smaller stocks than what the trade had expected, we need more acres planted this spring to rebuild those stocks. We're looking at, from what the USDA told us this morning, 4 million acres more than what we had last year. I think the trade, by the reaction of the report this morning, is going to be a bullish reaction. It's going to tell us that this 4 million acres is not enough. We need more corn acres than that to meet this ethanol demand, to meet the export demand that we have, and to meet the feed usage demand, and that's going to be reflective in the quarterly stocks. So I would say you're looking at 20 to 25 higher just off of the calls of this report. When you factor in the fact that we've dropped as much as we have in the corn market on fund selling, a gap higher opening today I think will be a signal to these funds that the selling needs to slow down. In fact, they're probably going to be in and buying back their short position. So I would certainly look for corn to probably test that 30-cent limit to status at some point, led by the old crop May, July contracts. That's where I think most of the short covering will come in. You should also get some buying interest in the December contract, maybe a little bit more of a follower's role, but 20 to 25 higher is a pretty reasonable call, and that's kind of what's coming out of the floor, anywhere from that 20 to 30 higher range, and I wouldn't be surprised to see 30-cent limit gains today as we start to get some of these fund traders into the market. Looking at a soybean call, we're 25 to 30 higher. We have less acres than what the trade was expecting. We have tight supplies. beans are probably going to be more of a follower than what the corn is going to be. I would look for old crop corn to be the leader and beans a follower. Trade, if we're assuming that corn needs to buy some more acres and pick up more than 4 million acres, where is that acreage going to come from? Well, it could come from soybeans, and soybeans have tight enough supplies that we can't afford to give up any soybean acres, so they should rally following the corn market. We could get some out of spring wheat. USDA did tell us 14.4 million acres. That was quite a bit more than last year, quite a bit more than the average trade gets. And so I think it's likely that wheat is going to be a spread market, meaning that traders may buy corn and sell wheat against it, particularly if you're buying new crop corn and selling old crop spring wheat. That looks to be the most commodity this morning is that the spring wheat Minneapolis exchange traded contract, just from the standpoint that it looks like we've already got priced into the market here, or producers anyway anticipating planting more spring wheat acres. All wheat acres were up as well. That should be a little bit bearish, but it sure looks like we're going to see, you know, maybe 15, 20 cent higher calls in the wheat, but it's going to be more of a follower's role and struggle, I think, with the fact that we're going to see some spread trading between the corn and wheat, and probably soybeans and wheat. And it looks like it should be a pretty exciting day on the floor. We should have sharply higher opening and gap higher opening in most contracts, especially corn and soybeans, and that should get the funds back into a buying mode since they've been sellers here most recently. So, again, 20, 25, maybe 20, 30 higher corn, beans that 25 to 35 range, and wheat anywhere from 10 to 20 higher is the calls that are coming in off the floor. So why don't I go ahead and answer some questions that you might have.
Thanks, Brian. I'm going to run through the media that has checked in. We'll have everyone get a chance to ask a couple of questions of Brian if you have any. If I don't call your name, just check in following this portion of the Q&A. So let's start with Al Gustin in Bismarck. Al, do you have a question for Brian?
Yes, please, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning, Al.
You mentioned the spring wheat acres up rather significantly. To what extent does this delayed spring make those numbers suspect, do you think?
Well, I think there's two things that could really also come into play, and you mentioned the delayed spring, and weather is certainly one that will come into play here. You know, the USDA is telling us 14.4 million acres of spring wheat, up significantly from the average guess and from last year and from 2009. I think, you know, especially if corn really starts to rally in here, we get a little bit of a delay in getting those spring wheat acres in, which it looks like the weather's not going to cooperate. Traders, or farmers, excuse me, will most likely shift over to corn and try and be planters of corn or even soybeans, and it'll come at the expense of spring wheat. And that's really the function or the job of the market this morning, is to tell producers or give them that incentive to go ahead and switch over to corn and soybeans and not plant as much spring wheat, particularly if the weather doesn't cooperate.
Thank you, Brian.
Absolutely.
No, that's fine.
Do you have a follow-up?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Randy up at Red River, do you have a question for Brian?
Yeah. Brian, who do you see blinking first as far as demand? We start seeing these prices jump higher. Which, whether it's livestock, ethanol, exports, what goes first?
I guess my thought on that is your ethanol companies have probably done a great job as far as hedging themselves and getting enough either inventory around them already or buying a lot of options, especially in the corn, out-of-the-money type summer call options to protect themselves if prices go higher. As long as the crude oil prices, we always look at that as well, we're over $100, $105. You know, we're trading pretty erratically, but we're up in that range. That gives them a good margin to work with. Certainly look for the ethanol industry to remain strong and healthy. I don't see them blinking at all. I think they're covered enough, and as we get into the summer, we'll probably see even better demand for gasoline usage. So I would say your ethanol industry doesn't blink at all. Your livestock, with the profitability that's going on in the cattle market, you know, prices continue to move higher. There's going to be a tendency for those guys, if they can put calves in the feedlot, background calves, whatever they can do, they'll continue to do that. I think it's our export market that suffers first. We'll start to slow down some of those export business to some of these other countries, especially other countries that respond to these price levels and plant more corn as well, they'll become a more of a competing country.
Randy, another question?
No, thanks. Thank you, Brian.
Absolutely.
Haley Schiff. Haley, do you have a question for Brian?
Yes, please. Brian, how much do you think that these numbers could change by the time we see our next report come out?
Well, I think they'll change dramatically. You know, and they usually do. We get, when you talk about next report, it's the June acres report, June 30th. It'll be another big data for trade to look at. You know, the job of the market right now is to see more corn acres being planted. No doubt, I think the farmer will respond to it. If we get a price rally here and a delayed type of planting scenario, no doubt we'll see a big shift in acres in corn, soybeans, and to a smaller extent spring wheat, just because there's, you know, there's a lot, obviously a lot less wheat acres being seeded. One other thing we may see changing here going forward is USDA indicated 58 million all wheat acres, 41 winter wheat. Some of that could be torn up. You know, there's a very poor crop growing in Oklahoma and Texas, and some of that may just be torn up and collected insurance upon and then planted into corn and soybeans. So we could see some date shifts in the winter wheat as well.
Haley, do you have a follow-up question for Brian?
No, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Tom Webb from the Pioneer Press, do you have a question for Brian?
Yeah, hey, Brian, thanks.
Hi there.
So you're calling corn higher, beans higher, and wheat higher, is that right?
Yeah, everything's called higher off the floor right now. Wheat would be the follower, the weakest of the three markets, but corn is the one that could trade its limit status this morning.
Okay, but if the market started seeing this report as bullish on all fronts, I mean, where, what kind of acreage were they expecting to get?
Well, the corn acreage, we were expecting like a 91.8 million, and it came in above that at 92.2 million. So it came in above the average trade guess, but the key is, quarterly stocks were so much less than what the trade was looking for. You need to have more than the 92.2 million acres of corn to meet that demand. So even though we increased corn acres 4 million from last year, the quarterly stocks indicate you need to have a 5 or 6 million acre shift into corn, and we haven't got that yet. So it should be the market's job to buy some of those acres over the next 30 days.
Okay. And I was looking at sort of the geography of where the new acres are coming on. That's Kansas and Oklahoma and, you know, South Dakota. And I mean, that kind of tells me those aren't the prime acres. I mean, you're going to pick up some production, but it's not, you know, Iowa and Illinois and Minnesota.
Right, yeah. A lot of the farmers in Illinois, Minnesota, Nebraska, Indiana, you know, the key corn-producing states are already planting fence row to fence row corn and soybeans. There's very little else grown in Iowa or Illinois. Every good, usable acre is being farmed already, so I don't think you can pick up a lot of acreage out of those states. It always comes from these fringe states like South Dakota and, as you said, Oklahoma. And it's going to come out of areas that are having a poor winter wheat crop or have an inability to plant the spring wheat, and yield will not be as good in those areas.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Fran Howard from AgWeb. Fran, do you have a question for Brian?
Yes. Hi, Brian. What do you think that these reports will do to the trading range for corn moving forward? You know, in other words, what do you think the high is that corn could reach?
Oh, I know the odd question. Yeah, you know, you're looking, if you look at December corn or new crop, you know, if you look at a July contract, I guess, first of all, that would be one to start looking at. That one, I think you've got a good shot to go back up near those old highs, which were 745. Certainly could exceed that 725 resistance that we had in March. 745 to 750 is a reasonable target for July corn to go to retrace back to, go back up to those old highs and possibly exceed them.
Okay, thank you.
Fran, do you have a follow-up question?
What are your thoughts on cotton? Are cotton acres going to just stay where they are, or is that enough to satisfy the cotton market?
You know, I don't look at cotton that much. It is a record amount of acres being seeded for cotton. You know, I think you're probably, I don't have a strong opinion about cotton other than it's going to steal some of these acres out of the corn and soybean market and in the southern areas.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea Johnson. Andrea, do you have a question for Brian?
Yes, I do. At some point, will the market stop trading the 2010 crop and focus primarily on 2011?
Oh, I think we will, but it won't be for quite some time. We have tight enough supplies that and big enough demand here that we're going to see old crop, I think, be the leader for the most part. You know, that's where I think most of the strength is going to come from. And, you know, until we get into the summer months where we know that we're not going to run out of corn, we've done a decent enough job of rationing that demand, we're still going to trade old crop as the leader of the market right now.
Okay, thank you. I don't
thanks,
have
Andrea.
A follow-up.
All right, thanks, Andrea. Is there any other media that is on the line that hasn't had a chance to ask a question yet? Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is Forrest Wallace with Farm Press. I wonder if you could explore what's behind the increase in ethanol usage. I think that's a little surprising from what I've heard.
We've seen a lot of increase in the usage of ethanol. There's some in the trade thinking that, you know, we're building up stocks enough that they're surprised by it and are not expecting that this will continue. Crude oil prices continue to move higher, so it indicates that the processing margins are strong enough that they're willing at this point anyway to continue to build up stocks for a time when demand is going to match up to it. But, stocks as far as crude oil continue to rise and increase, so we maybe don't have the demand that is there right now. It's more of a function of just the building up of supplies, and that's almost an artificial demand rather than an actual consumer demand.
Thank you.
Forrest, do you have a follow-up at all?
What about the corn acres in the South? That seems to be a real battle there between corn and cotton right now. What's your reading on that?
Well, corn acres, they're planting some in Texas, and it's going in the ground pretty quickly. With the profitability that there is in the South in planting cotton, it's going to be hard to plant corn instead of that cotton market. There's some weather event that would indicate they can't plant cotton and they have to plant corn. I don't think you're going to see a big increase in corn acres out of the southern area.
Any other media on the line that hasn't had the opportunity to ask Brian a question?
Randy Conan, the Red River Farm Network. Hey, Brian, this is kind of maybe an off-the-wall question, but there's been some talk about USDA maybe looking at doing something with DDGs. Did they mention anything about as far as usage, bringing that back into this market?
You know, that's something that I think they probably should address, because right now they're not addressing it. You know, the DDGs are a byproduct of ethanol production that's being fed to livestock, and it should show up as reduced feed demand, and hasn't been. It's pretty much just being factored into balance sheets and forgotten about it. The byproduct is being forgotten about. So it's something they definitely should address, because, you know, it should take away from corn usage if a farmer, cattle feeder, can use those DDGs. There's talk about USDA applying that at some point, but they have, last I heard, have said no comment that there are there's no intention of them adding that as a separate category.
Okay, well, thanks to everyone for all the questions. We'll have this audio on the website later this morning. There's also written an audio commentary on our website at www.mgex.com. Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions, thank you so much. We appreciate you giving the commentary for us today. Our next call will be Friday, April 8th. Thanks again to everyone, and have a good day.